welcome to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, this is Joanna Penn for the Creative Pen Podcast, and today I'm interviewing Gary Smales. Gary is the author of several history books for children published by Hachette, and also has a wide experience of the publishing industry, working as a freelance writer, historian and researcher. He's part of the team at bubblecow.co.uk, which specialises in helping writers get published through copy editing manuscripts and helping with book proposals. So welcome, Gary.
Hiya.
Well, thanks for coming on the show. We've been on Twitter sort of together for a while now. So maybe you could start by telling us a bit about your own background and also about Bubble Cow, the business.
Okay, so I'm a writer. I write children's books as kind of half my living. As you said, we're just about to have some books out with Hachette that come out early next year. But as most writers find out, that making a full-time living from writing isn't that particularly easy. So quite early on in my career, I decided to set up a literary consultancy with my wife, Caroline Smales, who's also a writer. And we were both working as freelance editors at the time, and it just seemed right to be able to bring both of our work together under one umbrella, which was Bubble Cow. We'd taken on a couple of extra part-time freelance editors for very specialist work, but basically it's remained as a family business.
Hmm. I've got to ask, why the name?
It's Google-friendly, basically. We knew early on that, I don't know how technical you want to get, but basically trying to find people who are looking for copy editing their work don't really search on one single term. It's not like buying an iPod or anything in particular. So we always knew early on that we wouldn't be able to have a particular keyword kind of SEO. So what we went for was a term that, A, we could get a website address for, B, that was memorable, and C, that was Google free. So if you type in Bubble Cow, you basically get us. it also allowed us to use our avatar. I don't know how many people follow us on Twitter, but you can see the big licking cow, which kind of sticks in people's memory. And it's all really just kind of, it's trying to give the image that we're a much more modern company as well. We wanted to move away from that very traditional literary consultancy to a, you know, we only deal with online manuscripts. We only deal in email. We don't get anyone posting paper manuscripts to us. You know, a lot of what we do is advising writers on building a profile. So, you know, it's all kind of one package, sort of. Yeah.
Mm. Answers it. Yes. No, I think that's really brilliant. And actually, you've already said two things that are really important. One, Bubble Cow is basically a brand, and your branding is what stands out. You know, I called you about this as opposed to all the other massively, you know, there's so many literary consultants out there. And also, you talked about being a writer and entrepreneur. So it's brilliant already. Fantastic.
I think it is important that, that writers, especially those using Twitter, do have a consistent image, a consistent face, especially with Twitter when you're just looking at people's little avatars. It is important that people are memorable.
Mm, absolutely. Right, so today we're going to talk a bit about book proposals and, I guess, in the traditional publishing industry. So maybe you could start by explaining the key aspects of a book proposal, just as a sort of basics.
Okay, I mean, when you're writing a book proposal, I mean, if we start from the start, I always say there's really three kinds of routes for a writer to take. They can either go through the traditional publishing route, which takes them to a big publisher. They can go to a smaller independent publisher, or they can self-publish. If you take either of the first two options, you're going to need to somehow pitch your book to the publisher or agent. If you're going to one of the very big publishers, they won't accept what they call unsolicited manuscripts, which is basically manuscripts from writers. they will only accept manuscripts from agents. So if you're a writer trying to get to a big publisher, then you need to go through an agent. There is a lot of smaller independent publishers who do an equally good job, who will accept unsolicited manuscripts. If you're going to them, though, again, you need to be pitching your book. And the industry standard for that is a book proposal. So basically, if you're a writer looking to get your work into print, you have to learn how to write a good book proposal. It's the only way that an agent or a publisher can find out how good your work is. The basic proposal consists of a cover letter, a synopsis, and an extract, which is normally the first three chapters. Now, all the agents and publishers, I think, try and trick writers by making their submission guidelines always slightly different, but they're all basically based around that same structure. Do you want me to go on?
Yes, absolutely. Although I guess one immediate question is that the same for fiction and non-fiction?
Okay, yes, but a fiction and a non-fiction book proposal are very different. The basic principle's the same, but they are very different. I mean, the most fundamental difference is that I would advise anyone pitching a fiction book to have the completed manuscript before they start. If you think about it, if you write the world's greatest book proposal, you send it off to all of the agents love it, the first thing they're going to ask you for is the full manuscript. And if you don't have that full manuscript, you're left in this limbo where you've got to go back to the agent and say, well, actually, I haven't finished it. It's much, much better to have a completed novel before you even start. However, for non-fiction, it's the industry standard to pitch an idea with maybe one chapter written. You know, for myself, I write kids' history books, and I very rarely actually write a book before the pitch. And we will pitch the idea with an extract, and then the publisher may come back and ask for an extended extract, but it's a different kind of approach. But if you have got a written non-fiction book, it does put you in a very strong position, because obviously the publisher can see what they're getting.
Right. No, that's brilliant. Now, I understand extracts, three chapters, absolutely. I kind of understand synopsis, I do, but maybe you could come back on that. But the cover letter, there seems to be a lot of different sort of things that you're meant to put in a cover letter, and are you meant to get it all on one page? can you perhaps go into that a bit more?
Okay, so cover letter and query letter are both the same thing, and they're basically, if you go back, they're the letter that you're going to put with all of your extract and synopsis that's going to introduce yourself to your agent or publisher. Now, I think a lot of writers miss a real opportunity with a cover letter and just simply put, you know, please look at my work, one sentence, one paragraph. And it's a real missed opportunity, because it is a chance to try to convince the agent or publisher that you have the book that's ideal for them. I always say that there's four things that you're trying to do with a cover letter. Is you are trying to convince the agent or publisher that you understand the marketplace. You're trying to convince them that your book will fit into their current list. You're trying to convince them that your book's good enough to actually sell enough copies to make it worth their while. And you're also giving them a bit about you, the author, to show that you're, you know, good, and you can support and promote the book. I mean, the actual structure of a cover letter is up to much debate, and I would suggest that, even though I'm going to give you an outline here, the best cover letters I ever read have the personality of the writer in them. They will follow this basic structure, but there's no doubt that their writing ability and their own personality shines through, and I think that's really, really important. I've written a lot on my blog about the four paragraph approach, which is basically, in the first paragraph, you're going to start with an elevator pitch, which is a one line blurb that kind of sells your book. You open with that, and then you underneath have a very brief summary of what your book is about. So if you think about it, if you've read the first paragraph, I've been dragged into it with my hook, with my elevator pitch, and then I know a bit about what the book is. I mean, I'm talking just a couple of sentence summary. Then in the second paragraph, and I think this is the most important thing, is that you then try to sell your book. I think one of the problems that a lot of writers have is they spend so long writing their novel that they forget that it is actually a product. Mm. As far as an agent and a publisher is concerned, they're looking for a product that they can sell to make money. You know, and a lot of them will have very strong views about what's good and what's bad writing, but at the end of the day, they only have a limited budget to sell so many books, and they're only going to commission books that they think they can sell for a profit. So what it is important to do so that will fit their marketing strategy and their setup. Because a lot of these publishers ultimately have a very tight focus on the market. They will be very genre specific. They will have a set of booksellers and marketeers and designers and editors that are all based on one particular genre, which is why you get with big publishing houses, you see lots of little imprints under the same umbrella. If you look a lot of time, those imprints will deal with different genres. So what you're trying to do is convince the agent or publisher that your book is right for their company. So you need to mention the book genre. I always say it's good to give two or three representative titles that reflect your book. So this isn't really naming the competition, but if you've written a book that's very like Lord of the Rings, if you say in your cover letter, my book is very like Lord of the Rings, it makes it very clear quite quickly to the publisher whether your book is going to be right or wrong for them. Mm. You're not saying that you're going to sell as many as Lord of the Rings, you're just saying that my book is in that genre. And often writers will struggle to pinpoint the exact genre, and by using representative titles, it kind of clears it up. It's also important to put the book's word count in, so the publisher knows what they're dealing with. And basically, in that paragraph there, you're trying to convince the agent or publisher that you are giving them a product. The third paragraph, I always say, is a kind of loose outline of the book's plot, where you kind of give a very, very brief summary, synopsis of the narrative. And then in the final paragraph, you're talking a bit about you as a writer and your experiences writing and what you can bring to the project. I think a lot of writers get hung up on the fact that they're not experienced and they don't have, you know, a string of published novels, but I don't think that really matters. The industry is always looking for new writers, but they want to find writers that are going to be able to promote and talk about their book. So I'm finding it increasingly important in that last paragraph to talk about any kind of marketing ideas, or, you know, if you've got a strong online presence, you know, that is very important. I would suggest that when you pitch your book, you make it quite clear that you have a very strong, loyal following, because you're going to be able to sell your novel to those people.
Mm.
You mentioned earlier about keeping it to one page. I'm a bit of I go about against that a bit. I think never more than two pages, but I think it's okay to switch to go over into a second page if you're giving the publisher or agent valuable information.
Mm, what? Yeah, because all that stuff, I can't see how you can fit it on one page.
It is a skill, and I think that's one of the important things here. It is a skill that a writer has to learn, because this is the only way to pitch your book. This is how agents and publishers assess books. You know, the better your cover letter is, the more chance you've got of it exciting them and going on. I mean, at the end of the day, though, you're living down your extract. So, you know, you can have the world's greatest cover letter, but if your extract's not great, then
is that true? What do they read first then? If you know, what do they open the packet? What do they read first?
Well, cover letter, synopsis, extract is the general kind of rule. But I mean, I often say that one way for people to think about it is that agents and publishers are often looking for a reason to say no, not to say yes. It's easier for them to reject. So I think early on when they're first looking, they're just looking to see if it's the kind of book that's going to
fit
in their thing. But don't forget, these are, you know, despite what a lot of people will say on the internet, these are normal people like you and me, and they are looking for books that excite them. They're looking for books that once they start reading it, they get to the end of the extract and they want to know what happens. And if you can do that, I mean, the cover letter and synopsis, the whole point is to get the agent or publisher to just look at your extract. And if your extract is what they're looking for, then you've got a good chance that they're going to be excited about it.
Mm, that's great. So, yeah, I mean, you've given us loads there. It's brilliant. I've written down loads of notes.
I'll give you a link to the website. I'll give you a link to the information on the blog and the website where you can direct people to go and have a look. But
So a quick question I have now, I guess, is, and you know, a few years ago, I literally knew nothing about this. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't know anything about this. So why do authors fail at this stuff? So what are the key things that people would do wrong and the reason they get rejected? Not the reason they get rejected for their writing, but, you know, for their proposal.
So obviously one reason that writers get rejected is that their book isn't of a standard that the publisher is looking for.
Mm.
But if we assume that it is, and that isn't the reason for rejection, there's actually a lot of reasons why a publisher would reject a manuscript. You know, it may be this case that the publisher doesn't have the budget at that moment in time to support that kind of project, and they may like it, but they may not love it. It may not be, you know, so they may say no for that. They may say no because they just can't see the marketplace for it. They can't see the readership. They can't, you know, and as a writer, you've got to convince the publisher and agent that there is a marketplace and there is a readership. So they may just... They may find that they haven't got, they can't come up with a marketing strategy. They can't see how they will sell this to the bookshops. It may be that they have a very similar book already. You know, it isn't necessarily a good idea to pitch a book that's very, very similar to a publisher's bestseller. So if you look for a publisher and you think, oh, I've written that book, it's very similar to this bestseller. If you were then to pitch it to that publishing house, they would see your book as taking sales off a book they already have.
Mm.
So it isn't, it isn't necessarily a great idea to be exactly the same as the bestseller. I mean, there's two other things there, though. The first thing is that the publishing industry is so slow that they're looking a year ahead, at least a year ahead. So what's best-selling now isn't necessarily what's going to be best-selling in a year's time. And isn't, you know, if you go pitching a Twilight-style novel now, I suggest you've missed the boat. And you should be trying to, you know, guess what's coming in a year, which is what the publishing industry is trying to do. That's about right.
Yeah. One of the things I was, I guess something I've been learning about is that you should only really send that whole package to the right people. And if you send it to the wrong people, you know, if you send the Lord of the Rings to a romance agent or whatever, that's not going to work either.
Correct. They'll say no straight away. They'll say no, and they'll give you a standard rejection letter because it doesn't fit. As soon as they open that package up and see, you know, they're publishing romance and yours is a thriller, they might love it, but they're going to say no because they haven't got the network to sell the book. To the book. So if you think about it, so for a publisher, they have a distribution chain, and that distribution chain sells into bookshops, and those bookshop buyers are looking at particular publishers to sell particular types of books. So they can't suddenly start switching genre because they just haven't got the expertise to sell those. So finding the right agent and the right publishers is part of the deal. Is essential.
Mm.
Which is why agents come in. This is where agents come into their own, of course, because they know what publishers are looking for.
Absolutely. Another question I had before we move into the copy editing, because I want to get to that, is what you've said so far, is it different in the UK? Because clearly you're in the UK, I'm in Australia, and a lot of my listeners are in America. So is it sort of across the whole industry, or are there different things that you do in different countries?
There's obviously different national characteristics, but in essence, it's the same worldwide. But the way to think about it now is that you know, you using Twitter and Facebook and blogging, you are talking to people worldwide anyway. There is no definition, is there? So I think especially with Amazon as well, is that it's coming to the stage more and more where it is becoming much more international. But I mean, the difference, of course, would be that you would need an agent and a publisher in your particular territory. So for your, in your case, you would be looking for an Australian agent, because they will know, they will have the contacts within the Australian publishing industry. If you then wanted to sell your book into the UK, what would probably happen is your agent or publisher would sell your rights to a UK publisher. So unless you do find sometimes that writers will try to pitch their books, an Australian writer may try to pitch it in directly into the English market, which is fine. But as a general rule, you use your own territory, and then those publishers are set up to sell it abroad, which is hence the reason for all of these big conferences where they all get together and try and sell the foreign rights.
Yes. okay, so I also, because we're almost running out of time already, it's amazing. So I had a question about copy editing. Now, I've just finished the first draft of my novel, so I'm very excited about that. And looking ahead to, you know, obviously after I've finished my own rewrites, I'm of the opinion that a professional edit is needed. But maybe you could explain why you think authors need a professional edit, and also what copy editing is when a professional does it.
Okay. I think it comes down to the fact that you are pitching with a book proposal, and that book proposal is ultimately going to lead to the publisher reading your extract. That extract needs to be as good as possible. I think a couple of years ago there was an understanding that a publisher would be prepared to spend time with the writer to bring their work up to scratch. But I think In recent times that's changed, and publishers are looking for books that are as close to being publishable as possible. If you think about it, the more time and effort they need to spend getting a book ready for print, the less profit they're going to make in the long run. And the profit margins are so tight that there just isn't the money there to spend a year with a writer bringing their book up to scratch. You also find with agents, it used to be something agents used to do quite a lot, but I think it's becoming much less common now for an agent to actually spend time with a writer developing their writing. So it becomes essential that extract is amazing. This is the best it possibly can be. I mean, I often say that the best time to approach a professional editor like ourselves is when you've done everything you can do. You're so sick of the book that you can't possibly read it one more time. You've pestered all of your friends and family. You've asked a few people who, you know, are on the outskirts, and you've had all of this feedback, and you've applied it all to your book, and maybe you've had a couple of critique groups look at it, and basically you get to the stage where you're just about ready to pitch. That's the time that you should be sending it to a professional editor. Because what we will do is I mean, copy editing is probably a bit of a misnomer, because there's a number of different stages that a book will go through when it goes to a publisher. So it's not just copy editing, it's not just proofreading. It'll start with a structural edit, where they're looking at the kind of the basic structure of the book and making sure that it's all organized correctly. They'll look at a stylistic editing, where they're making sure the house style matches and it's all consistent. The copy editing is then with the grammar and the sentence structure. And then finally, there'll be a proofreading where they're looking for errors. I think, though, that what we offer is all of the first three stuck together in one. And what it basically is to make sure that your book is reading well. As reading as well as it can. There's no plot holes, there's no obvious errors, there's no obvious grammar errors, there's consistency throughout the book. You know, often when you're writing, you get so close to the project that you don't see things. You know, you may have said a character has blue eyes in one chapter, and then a couple of chapters later you say they have brown eyes, and you don't see it, but a reader will pick that up, and a good copy edit will also pick that up. There's also making sure that books match the current style of the genre. You know, if you look at novels change in their kind of feel, and that's one of the things that you've got to try and get right, is make sure that your novel feels modern and contemporary.
Well, that's interesting. Now, and what's I guess, funny, or, you know, this is the state of the industry now, but I, you know, being, having self-published as well, and when I self-published, I paid an editor to do a professional edit. And now it's quite funny because, you know, you basically have to pay a professional editor if you're going to go the traditional route as well, whereas it used to be that perhaps that was included in the publishing process, but you're basically saying you have to do it either way now, whether you're self-publishing or traditional publishing.
I think it's getting to that stage. I mean, we deal with a lot of self-published writers who come to us, and we will edit their work early on and help them to prepare it for publication. But, you know, I've never come across a book that isn't improved by a good edit. And and publishers also go through their own editing process when you submit. But it's all just building on what you've already done. The thing is, though, it's such a competitive industry now. If you think of the amount of writers, you know, both of us are talking to people all the time who want to have their books published. And the amount of people out there pitching their books is unbelievable. And you hear these stories of agents and publishers having all of these manuscripts coming through the door, and that is the case. Mm. To stand out, you do have to be the best you can be. You have to make it as easy as possible for the publisher agent to say yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess it's sort of one last question then. You know, you specialise in helping writers get published traditionally with an agent and a publisher and everything, but I'm interested in your opinion on ebooks and self-publishing and publishing industry change. Are you changing your business model, or what are you seeing as what's going on right now?
I think that that's a very interesting question. That's another half hour. That
yeah.
I think that it's split into people who have seen the iPad and people who haven't seen the iPad. It's as simple as that. I think once you've seen what the iPad can do, that is the future of publishing. I think you're just going to see an expansion of ebook sales because the media such as iPad is developing that's making it much easier. I never think we're going to lose books. I think good honest paper books are going to stay there. I think it will just be a choice. I think it'll be whatever's easiest for readers. You think about it, audio books haven't killed the paper book. I don't think ebooks will kill the paper book. I just think it will become an option. But for self-publishers, I think writers now are in such a strong position. It's unbelievable, because if you can develop a good network of fans and followers, it is now possible to sell enough books online, ebooks or print on demand books, to make it, you know, make you consider whether you do really need a traditional publisher. It is becoming, especially for non-fiction, especially for, you know, if it's a non-fiction, very specialized niche market, then often I'm thinking now that it's probably better for a lot of these writers to actually self-publish than it is to go through a publisher, because they're probably going to sell as many books. They can access the same people. They'll just make more money because they're not taking a cut.
And obviously I totally agree with you. And it's interesting thinking about this fiction novel I'm writing, because I'm going to give it a go because I want to go through the experience of the traditional publishing attempt. But yeah. if it doesn't work out, I will absolutely be self-publishing, because you know I know how it works, and I will sell books, and you know, you're right, it's an incredibly exciting time in the industry.
I think my word of warning would be that selling fiction yourself is incredibly difficult, because it's very difficult to pinpoint that market. You know, if you're selling a book on computer programming or something, it's very easy to find those markets, because people tend to collect together with a like interest, and you can go to the places that they go and integrate. And you can't pinpoint the market. You know, there isn't one place that all thriller readers are going to go. So you are casting a much wider net, and it's much more difficult. But it can be done. You know, there's a number of writers that have done very well. I think you had an interview with Scott Sigler, didn't you? And
yes.
Scott he's a blueprint of how to do it. Because, you know, it is possible. It's just finding that hook and accessing these writers. Readers, sorry.
Well, fantastic. We are out of time. Now, you have stacks of really good stuff on your website, so maybe you could just tell people how they can find you and the resources.
Well, the best place is is the website, naturally, which is www.bubblecow.co.uk. And then click through to the blog. I try to blog every day. But also, you can find us on Twitter, which is @BubbleCow. And we've just started to move over to a fan book page, fan Facebook fan page as well, which is starting to grow. But I think if the best place to start is BubbleCow and the blog and Twitter, really.
And I know you have some resources there about proposals and things that people can have a look at. So I highly recommend your site to everyone. So thank you ever so much for your time, Gary. That was brilliant.
Excellent. Thanks a lot. Bye now.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.